Good morning, my friend. Hope you're doing well. Yesterday was Father's Day in the United States, and I hope that you had an opportunity to either spend time with or talk to or reminisce about your father if he's no longer with us. We had a quiet day here. It was so hot we couldn't really do anything outside. Heard from all the kids, and we just had a kind of a nice quiet time with Tata and Lisa and I. Just sort of relaxed, went to church, and then spent the afternoon watching some golf and just kind of relaxed, and hope it was good for you. I received two emails yesterday that were just devastating. And, you know, Father's Day for me is always bittersweet, and I'm sure for any bereaved parents, Mother's Day, Father's Day, days like that are always difficult. Anybody who's lost a child, it's tough. And, you know, like for people like my friend Tommy Walker, they lost Tommy's dad recently. And even though he was, had lived a beautiful, long life, it's sad. And Father's Day, and the first time that you go through a big legacy day like that, an anniversary or a holiday that reflects on those individuals, it's tough. And so our friend, yesterday we saw at church, who's lost her father last year. This was the first Father's Day without him, and it was just hard. You know, there's hard things too. So it's just how life is, right? In the midst of all the sweetness, there's also pain, and we have to learn how to live in that kind of quantum duality. So as I was doing my quiet time this morning, just kind of kept reflecting on those two emails that I got. Excuse me, my voice is cracking a little bit today. So much dust in the air right now. It's been really windy here, and the farmers have been working in the field, and it's just kind of got all of us sort of congested and all that. So I'm sorry about my voice cracking, but I want to tell you about these two emails. I want to share an email, not the email itself, the content, but just I received a letter from the mother of a young man that I took care of in Casper years ago, who had an accident back then, and he had contacted me a few years later and told me he was doing really well and thanked me for my help and all that. Well, she just emailed yesterday and said that he'd had a whole series of medical problems over the years since the accident and different things that happened in his life, and he ended up having an overdose of pain medication and died within the last few weeks, about 4 weeks ago. And just devastating, right? She said how much he had struggled over the years, even though he had survived his injury and had kind of a miraculous recovery. He just never could quite break free from the addiction and all the different problems that he went through. Just kept him kind of in and out of rehab and in and out of struggles, and he lost that battle. And just want you to pray for him, for his family, rather, and for anybody who's struggling with, you know, we face these traumas in our lives, and we sometimes survive them, but they leave a mark, and they often leave a lot of ripple effects that go on for years in our lives and in our families. And so just want to remind you that there are people around you who are hurting, who are struggling with things, and this situation, now we got a new set of parents who are grieving. And even though he was a grown man, these parents have lost their little boy, and that never stops hurting. And so just be with that family. I can't tell you their names, and I just don't want to share intimate details of their situation, but they definitely need your prayers. And then we have a dear supporter, a young lady, a lady who writes in, is one of our great podcast supporters, Rhonda. And she had written in yesterday and told us that her husband, Harold, was killed in a boating accident on June 14th. So just, you know, they're out as a family and having a good time, and he is suddenly gone. And life is just hard like that. And she said, you know, she's written in numerous times before about one of her children has struggled with addiction, and she's afraid that this loss of his dad is now going to, you know, be a threat to his recovery. And so she's really praying and asked for our prayers for her son, that he'll be able to stand strong through this difficulty and not relapse into his struggles with addiction. And so let's just pray for Rhonda and her family and for the loss of Harold. And this is just a difficult situation. And she had a line in her email that just really hit me hard, especially yesterday on Father's Day. She said, "So here we are with broken hearts that we never expected. So here we are with broken hearts that we never expected." Friend, that's it, right? Life comes along sometimes and hits you hard, and you don't know what to do. And she said, if one more person tells me how strong I am, I think I'll scream. And I wrote that. When she wrote that, it hit me really hard, because that's what happens when we lose somebody, when we go through something really hard. We have all these people that come alongside us, well-meaning people, but they try to use words, platitudes. You know, you're strong enough to deal with this. It's going to be okay. God must have a plan. God must have needed it more than you do. All things work together for good. We've talked about it numerous times, how those phrases don't help. And that reminded me of Mark Rogap's book, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, which he opens with the story of how they lost a baby. And in the devastation of that loss, he said, you know, people would try to say those comforting things. I'm sure the Lord will give you another baby, or maybe more people will come to faith because of the death of your daughter, or the Lord must know he can trust you with this. And Mark wrote, every person meant well. I appreciated their attempts to address our pain, but it became clear that most people did not know how to join us in our grief. And that's what Rhonda's getting at. If one more person tells me how strong I am, I think I'll scream. And Mark said, lament was not familiar terrain for them. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to say. They didn't know how to pray. And so Mark started looking through the books about grief, and what do you do when you found yourself in that spot, and how do you proceed, and what do you do next? And I would recommend Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy to you if you're going through something hard, or if you want to understand and be able to come alongside other people a little bit more faithfully in ways that help and not harm. That book will help you. So he said, walking through sorrow without understanding and embracing the God-given song of lament can stunt the grieving process. It's important to learn how to pray prayers of lament when you're going through something hard. And lament can be helpful. It can be a gift, actually, if you learn how to do it. And Mark said he came to love Psalm 13. Let me just read it to you before. Let me just read you Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. You see, friend, in the middle of all that pain, in the middle of all that doubt and shaking your fist and asking God how long, you can remember. Remember, I told you hope is a verb and it's made up of the component parts of memory and movement. You remember, I have trusted in your steadfast love. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. You remember, he's gotten you through hard times before. He's helped your son get into rehab and get clean before. He's helped you survive difficult things before. And therefore, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. So here it is. Here's the crux of the matter, friend. The quantum physics of our God, this God who created space and time, who called light from darkness, who can do anything, this God who can be the same God who says, I came to give you an abundant life, and in this world you will have trouble. In the same breath, those two things can be true. So it can be true that you're devastated over losing your husband or losing your son or losing your dad or whatever it is that you've gone through. It's true that you're devastated, but it can also be true that you can trust in his steadfast love. It's also true that you can rejoice in your salvation and the hope that you get to resurrect someday and reunite with those people that you so dearly love and miss. It's true at the same time. There's a song from Eileen Walker, the Highest Praises album that Tommy and Eileen did as a project together last year, one of the greatest worship albums that's ever been recorded, a song that Eileen wrote after she lost one of her dear friends in high school. What do you say? So what do you say? What does God have to say? Because people don't get it right. We don't say the right things when we're struggling, right? Rhonda has perfectly put that. If one more person tells me how strong I am, I think I'll scream. So we need to hear from God. We need to hear what God has to say. Because since people don't get it right, we need somebody to come alongside us and get it right. Mark said, there's two verses in Lamentations that seem to be in paradox. And we're going to talk, we've talked just a little bit just a second ago about quantum physics, about how two things can be true at the same time. You can have an abundant life and you can have a hard life at the same time. And here's another one, the paradox in Lamentations. Lamentations 2:1. How the Lord in his anger has set the daughter of Zion under a cloud. There's a dark cloud over you, he says. But in Lamentation 3:22, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. There's no bottom. There's no depth you can go to where his mercy doesn't get even deeper. So there's a dark cloud and there's deep mercy at the same time. Mark wrote, when the circumstances of life create dark clouds, I hope you'll come to embrace lament as a divinely given liturgy leading you to mercy. The historic song gives you permission to vocalize your pain as it moves you toward God-centered worship and trust. Lament is how you live between the poles of a hard life and trusting in God's sovereignty. Lament is how Christians grieve. Lament is how we bring our sorrow to God. Friend, happens to me every Father's Day. I'm sure it's happening to Tommy Walker and everybody who's lost a dad of our friend that we saw at church yesterday. It's happening to my former patient's mom and dad right now. It's happening to Rhonda and her family. They're lamenting, that they're grieving. And lament is the path to where you can move forward in that grief to a place where the bottom holds, because Christ has paid for the floor of your suffering, as Mark said. So I'm going to play you that song from Eileen Walker, What Do You Say? And just give you a chance to pray through that and think about it. And if you are coming alongside someone else who's hurting, take a chance to read John Swanson's little book, This Is Hard. It'll give you some words. It'll give you some things to say. Read Mark Rogoff's book, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy. Learn how to say something better than you're strong enough to deal with this. That's not the right thing to say right then. But Rhonda, we're praying for you. The other person I mentioned, we're praying for you, friend. Just put some prayer on this today. And for everybody who's hurting, there's hope. There is light. There's peace, but there's a process to help you get back to it, and it's called lament. That's how you get there. And we're not going to tell you in this podcast that all things work together for good. We're not going to tell you that you're strong enough. We will tell you those things, but at the right time. Right now, in the acute phase of what you're going through, if you're there, friend, we're praying for you, and we're with you. And if it's years later and you're still hurting, just know there's a path. There's a treatment plan. I just wrote a whole book about that. There's a path to get there. We're going to be covering that ground in the podcast. You can start with Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy from Mark Rogoff. And just, friend, I'm going to just leave you with that today. If you want to connect more, drleewarren.substack.com is the newsletter. It's how you can sort of get a little bit deeper into this self-brain surgery stuff. It'll help. It just will. It'll help. It's not easy. It's not platitudes. It's not a superficial treatment for your mortal wound. It's real help for real pain. It's what we're all going through. But there's also light. The sun's coming up over the trees right now, and to the east, I can look out over the river. And no matter how dark your night was, there's joy comes with the morning. There's always a sunrise. And if you can just hang on through the night, there will be a sunrise. It may feel like it's impossible, but it's coming. And all you have to do, my friend, is start today.
What do you say? What do you say when all I feel is pain? What do you say? Lord, what do you say when I can't see your face? That's what you say. I know that's what you say. But what do you say? Oh, That's what you say.